Praised be Jesus and Mary. In today's Gospel, we hear how the Pharisees, this is chapter 12 of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the Pharisees finally go out, take counsel against Jesus, and decide to put him to death. In the Gospel of St. John, it's specified that they took their decision, the Pharisees, to put our Lord to death. The straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, for the Pharisees was when our Lord rose, made Lazarus rise from the dead, and proved beyond any doubt his divinity. So the Jews wanted to kill both Jesus and Lazarus. Well, it reminded them of the fact that our Lord was something greater than a prophet, and they should have accepted him, yet they rejected him. So they decided to put him to death. But the Jews are not the only ones responsible for the death of our Lord. In the Catechism, in the Catechism, the Church reminds us not to fall into that temptation. It reminds us of, you know, the true responsible, those who are truly responsible for the death of our Lord. It says, it's number 598 in the Catechism, we must regard as guilty all those who continue to relapse into their sins. Since our sins made the Lord Christ suffer the torment of the cross, those who plunge themselves into disorders and crimes crucify the Son of God anew in their hearts, for he is in them, and hold him up to contempt. And it can be seen that our crime in this case is greater in us than in the Jews. Why? Because as for them, according to the witness of the apostles, none of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We, however, profess to know him, and when we deny him by our deeds, we in some way lay violent hands on him. Our crime is greater than that of the Jews, because we have received the faith, we have been instructed in the faith, we have the grace to live the faith, and yet we continue to sin. And our sins make the Lord Christ suffer the torment of the cross, whatever sins they might be, even if we were the only sinner, you and I were the, you know, or one of us were the only sinner in this world, our Lord still would have become man and died for us to redeem us. The sins of even one individual are enough to renew the sorrows, the pains, all the sufferings of the passion of our Lord. So today, celebrating the votive mass on this Saturday of Our Lady, should have refuge and recourse to her who is without sin, conceived without sin. She was never a slave of Satan. And it's never too much to remind ourselves that devotion to Our Lady is completely opposed to sin, and sin is completely opposed to devotion to Our Lady. The two cannot coexist, one or the other. So if we are devoted to Our Lady, our first and primary concern must be to flee sin, to avoid crucifying our Lord in our hearts. Our Lady was never a slave of sin. She was preserved from any stain of original sin, from any personal sin that she herself might have committed, from any debt of sin, as theologians say, even from any debt to sin. She has nothing absolutely whatsoever to do with sin, so much so that the Church applies to her the words of the Book of Wisdom, he who works in me, he who does my works, shall not sin. This the Church says of Our Lady, he who does my works shall not sin. The works of Our Lady are nothing else but the will of God. We go to her, she tells us, do what he tells you, do what my son tells you. She who with Adam has only in common her humanity, she descends from Adam biologically, but in the order of grace, her head is Christ. She's predestined with Christ by one and the same decree. Let us have then refuge in Our Lady, recourse to Our Lady, conceived without sin, who is completely opposed to sin, who crushes the father of sin, Satan, with her immaculate foot. Let us have recourse to her, let us have true devotion to her, so that we, in our hearts, might never, never again, you know, decide to put our Lord to death, you know, to crucify him in our hearts, where he truly dwells, as long as we remain in a state of grace. Praised be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.